over 30 years, Point of Grace has shared music, faith, and friendship with listeners across the country. Now Denise, Lee, and Shelley are inviting you into their circle. Welcome to Circle of Friends, the podcast.
It's Point of Grace.
Each week, they're talking real life, current events, stories of true friendship, wisdom from God's Word, and all their favorite things. If you're looking for a little company, a few laughs, and a lot of Jesus to hold it together, Circle of Friends, the podcast, is waiting for you. Subscribe now wherever you listen or watch podcasts. And circle up with Point of Grace.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on the 16th day of January 2026. And tonight, well, folks, let me tell you, the mighty Andrew, he is in the studio. There's a saying, who can do it? If anyone can, it's Andrew Mann, because on Friday night is when the demons come out and attack us, and they try to get into all of our equipment. But the mighty Andrew, he's there tonight. And when Andrew shows up, the demons disappear. Hey, mighty Andrew.
Thank you, Pastor, and absolutely, you are right.
You're there tonight. Alrighty. When we have Way Out in the Heart of Texas out there, he's the co-founder of Cops for Christ National and International. He's my longtime co-host, none other than Big John McTernan.
Well, hello, Pastor Ernie. I'm very happy to be here tonight. And may God bless all our listeners, and may we have a wonderful show in Jesus' name.
Yep, later on we may get another guest. We're expecting another guest, and we'll talk about that when we get there. Now, we're going to start tonight a very familiar passage of Scripture, but we're going there because it's a timely time, Romans chapter 13. So are you ready to get there, Big John?
Yep, just give me a moment. And I'm there. How's that?
Well, okay, you did it. You're pretty good. Even with your mechanical Bible, huh?
No, my Bible.
All right. Let me ask you this. Let's really take a close look at Romans 13, okay? Because a lot of people don't really take the teaching to a higher level, but that's what we're here to do, aren't we? So let's start by asking a couple questions, because you hear a lot of these. Over the years, I've had some real, and I know you have, hard disagreements with these prissy preachers, the apostate preachers, that have said, well, I won't stand against abortion or euthanasia. I won't stand against sodomy or same-sex marriage, as long as it's legal, we have to obey the government. And that's a lie told by liars, and that's a cowardly, cowardly thing. But we have to take a look at tonight and see what actual government is, because now today, people, you know, when Biden was in office, you know, we were totally against about everything he did. He's about everything he did was anti-Christian, but we were accused of being anti-government, and our government was corrupt. I mean, probably more corrupt than it's ever been in the history under Biden, with all of the intelligence agencies, the FBI, the CIA, totally corrupted, totally corrupted. But let's take a close look at Romans 13, starting with verse 1. First of all, let me ask you this. Who did Paul write this to, this letter to, this epistle?
Well, he wrote it to believers in Rome.
Right. He wrote it to believers in Rome. Those are Christians, right? To the saints in Rome. He starts off by talking about to the saints in Rome, right?
Yeah.
So he wrote it to the saints. So then as we take a look at this, we're going to take a look at what government is, what legitimate government is, and who these higher powers are according to the saints. So he said, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. All right. So that word powers, what do you think that means?
Well, I'm looking at that as people with authority, you know, government authority, Pastor.
All right. So let me ask you this. Are you an ambassador for Christ?
Yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Absolutely.
That means you have some authority, huh? Would you do this? Turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and read me verse 7.
Okay. Well, you got to hold on just for a moment, Pastor Ernie, because I spelled Hebrews wrong. Hebrews 13. Now I'm there, verse 7. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation.
Okay, now read me verse 17.
Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you.
Okay, so who are those people that he's talking about that have the rule over you?
Well, that would be the pastors and, you know, leadership in the church.
Okay. So now, going back to Romans 13, when we read this, when he says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that be ordained or ordained of God. So now, if you and I, let's just say that you and I were governors of a state, okay? As Christians, we are to govern by what authority and by what powers?
Well, as Christians, Pastor Ernie, like our power here in America, the authority would come from the Constitution and then the state, depending upon what state it was. But ultimately, they're under God's authority, Pastor.
So when we're talking about the higher power, there's only one higher power, God, and his government authorities as we govern. If you and I are, say, governors, we are to govern in accordance with God's authority. God has given us, is there any higher authority than this King James Bible?
No, Pastor Ernie. That ultimately, the governors here will say in America of the states, they have to do what's lined up with the Bible. Otherwise, they're like illegitimate.
So this is being written to Christians. We're talking about legitimate government. And so what comes first to us? Our positions as Christians or our positions as governors?
Well, ultimately, it's the Bible, Pastor Ernie, that as believers in Christ.
Okay, so then when we're out there, and when you and I, we used to go out and save babies, a lot of babies, okay? So we were in compliance with the government of God here, but we were totally at odds with the governments that tried to prosecute us. So we used to get arrested a lot. Okay, I used to get arrested a lot, I know. And so, but I was in compliance with the government of God. So which of the two governments were our legitimate government?
Oh, the one that's under God, and that's what's revealed in his word, Pastor Ernie.
Okay. All right. So whosoever therefore resisteth the power, so we're talking about the legitimate government of God. Let me ask you this. Back in the days of King David and that, when they had the kings and those, who did they go to find out what saith the Lord God?
Of the prophets.
That's right. They went to the prophets. Now, today, as Christians, let's just say that you and I were Christians, but we weren't clergy. We weren't pastors, but we were Christians. And we have decisions to make. Who do we go to and ask, what saith the Lord God?
I would say the Bible, Pastor Ernie.
Let's go back to over to where we were at in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember them that have the rule over you, that have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Consider the end of their conversation. That means the outcome, for an outcome. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable. So you and I, we are accountable directly to God, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so here now, God's word hasn't changed. God's authority hasn't changed at all. And so as believers, when we hold to the word of God, we have to hold to it, is exactly what it says. So now, as in the old days, when the kings and the princes, they would go to the prophets and say, what saith the Lord God? Today, do you think that congressmen and senators that are professing Christians, that are supposed to go to the pastors, which today we still have prophets, but they're forth tellers today. They're forth tellers today. And so when they would come to us, and I do have politicians, some call me and ask me, and judges, I used to have a number of judges, what is God's word to say about this? And today, do you think government would be much, much better if we were to do that today, like they did in the old days?
Any government, the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose Lord is the God is the Lord. And that's where the blessings come, Pastor Ernie. What we're experiencing now in America is because we're not lined up with God's word. And because of that, there's all sorts of turmoil and terrible things happening because we're not lined up with God's word.
I mean, it actually is that simple. What you just said is actually the truth. It's not a very complicated thing. We have 6,000 years of history to show you that when people were in obedience to God's word, things went well. But when they were not, when they were in disobedience, today the problem is biblical illiteracy, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
The vast majority of people out there are totally clueless to what the Word of God says, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. Even those that, you know, go to church, or that are real believers, unless they study the Word, they're ignorant. And my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And that knowledge is of the Word of God.
Absolutely. You couldn't be more correct. So let me ask you this. What percentage of what you see as assemblies or congregations out there today are actually Christian congregations, and what percentage do you think are apostate?
I'm not ducking the question, but I don't know, Pastor Ernie. I would say it's a pretty small percentage.
Would you say a guesstimate would be maybe 10%?
I think it's where you are. I think it's very low in Massachusetts and New York City and other places, and, you know, like that, Los Angeles, California. But in other places, I think it's high, much higher, Pastor Ernie.
So, you would, obviously there'd be, but I don't believe today, where it comes to actually teaching the Word of God, and I mean really teaching it and holding to the Word of God, I would say no more than about 10, I would guess about 10% of those that are actually holding to the Word of God.
I can tell you this. I remember a, what do you call it, a poll, I guess it would be, a survey.
Mm-hmm.
And they were surveying pastors. Now, it boiled down to about 10% of the pastors preach and hold the authority of the King James as the Word of God, where about 50% of the people, Pastor Ernie, read the King James. So there was a huge difference between the pastor in the pulpit and the people sitting in the church.
You know, one of the things that you don't hear too many pastors preaching on is when you go to the Word of God, and especially when you're preparing a sermon or whatever, what is the first thing you should do if you really want discernment? Should you not pray and ask God for discernment? I mean, isn't that what He tells you?
Yes. Yes.
What percentage of the people do you think that actually do that?
I guess it's low, Pastor Ernie. You know, I guess it's low.
Yeah.
And so, it probably depends upon the church. You know, the church. If the your church, the people that would fit comfortably in your church, they would do exactly what you were just saying. They would be very comfortable in the way you were leading them and the way you were presenting the Word of God and the authority of the Word of God and all. So it depends. I think the people reflect the pastor, for the most part, Pastor Ernie, in the churches.
Well, yeah, I think so too. Let's go to verse 3 here. Well, let's go to verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and here, and they that resist shall resist to themselves, shall receive to themselves damnation. So here now, again, it's taken back to the ordinance of God, to the Word of God, the laws of God, And whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. So, again, he's talking about those that resist the authorities. And the first people that God has given the highest authority to is the prophet and the preachers, the teachers. We just seen that there. So whether you're a senator, a congressman, a governor, or a president, you go to the man of God and you ask him, what saith the Lord God? There, that is how you're supposed to. This is what Scripture is telling you. Make your decision. Now, that man of God is responsible, directly responsible to God for what he teaches, the information. So, as pastors, should we be extremely, extremely careful on what we preach?
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. Almost not necessarily preach, but when I teach, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Exactly.
So we have to, that word has to be, there's no margin in there, Pastor Ernie, and we can't preach some seminary we went to or our own thoughts like that. We have to preach the Word of God as it rightly divided, because the Word of God can be, part can be, we'll say, in the Gospel of John, that what we want to teach, and part can be in Romans, and we have to rightly divide the Word of truth, that it's fitting together. That's the way God put his Bible there, that the truth is clear, but you have to have a submissive mind to God to see all that truth, Pastor.
Okay, so now let's go to verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. What wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So, what is good? How do I define good?
Has to line up with the Bible, Pastor Ernie.
Okay, so God's laws, God's ordinances, God's commands. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. I'll give you an example. Does God's word say it's good to defend those that are perishing, like the babies in the womb?
Proverbs chapter 24, verses 10 through 12.
Exactly. So is it evil to line up with God's word? Or is it the right thing? It's the right thing to line up against God's word, and it's evil there with the, well, in Pennsylvania, excuse me, in Texas here, abortion's against the law. But in many other states, it's not. So it's good to defend the babies in the womb, and it's wrong to go along with abortion because it's legal.
Absolutely. So it's always wrong to go. That's where I never believed that Jimmy Carter was saved, when I heard him say that abortion is wrong, and according to the Bible, it's a sin. But my constituents voted for me to keep it legal, and that's what I'll do. In other words, he came right out, and he considered himself to be a Bible teacher. And then yet he said that. In other words, he's saying, I'll obey government over God. And so he goes on to say.
But Pastor Ernie, look how he ended up. I mean, he was thoroughly disgraced.
Yeah.
In fact, he ended up, like, in my opinion, he ended up as a communist. Anything that was against America or that, he was for.
And yeah, I know.
He saw, down in Venezuela there and Nicaragua, he was wonderful. He would go check the voting. Everything's perfect. Everything's perfect. Remember?
Yeah.
That?
Yeah.
So his compromising, like early on when he ran there, and what would that be, 1970, what would it have been?
I think it would be around 70... 76 air time, wouldn't it be?
That's all blurring in my mind now. Yeah, it had to be in the 70s. Yeah, so like what you picked up, what he said, and if you follow him through the years, his compromise got worse and worse and worse and worse, right?
Yeah.
You couldn't even recognize him as like the president of the United States. He was like an enemy of the United States.
Well, I know that, you know, he betrayed the Shah of Iran.
Oh,
and
yes, he did.
He put the Ayatollah in there. And, again, a lot of his, he was an admiral in the Navy. And a number of his fellow officers considered him a communist.
Well, that came out, Pastor Ernie. It came out, the things he said about America and who he lined up with. Like I say, I remember him in Nicaragua. I remember him in Venezuela. And I'm trying to think of what other countries. And you could see the things he was saying, that he was not an American as we know the best.
No, he was, in my opinion.
Himself right out of being an American.
I know. He was, in my opinion, the worst president we had until Barack Obama. And then Biden even ended up being worse than Obama. Of course, Biden actually was Joe Obama. But we're going to go to a break. We'll be back right after this.
Well, there's people on the left and people on the right, and there's people that's in between. You better hope you're right when you leave this life and bow before the King of Kings. Bow before the King of Kings.
Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song. But on Judgment Day before God's throne, I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong.
They say no one murdered more than Hitler did. Most people would say that's true. But over 50 million babies that were never born might disagree with you. Yeah, they might disagree with you.
Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my songs. But on Judgment Day before God's throne, I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong. We got a right to feel the way we feel. We got a right to make a stand. And I'm proud to say on my wedding day that my woman was not a man,
a great big ugly man.
Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song. But on Judgment Day before God's throne, I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong. Thank God I'm saved on Judgment Day. I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong.
All right, we were back. And I'd rather be right than wrong, too. That was my old buddy who will go home to be with the Lord, Danny Ray, very talented Danny Ray. He wrote over about 300 songs, and him and I sang a number of songs together. and Julie, young Julie Daner there. And, of course, now that song's a bit old. She's not that young anymore. But, and then, of course, yours truly, me. And so I'd rather be right than wrong. Now we have with us the voice of Geauga. He's a businessman. He's a co-host of a brand new morning talk show. And that is my guest here, Jonathan Broadbent. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, Pastor. Happy to be back on with you.
Yeah. Listen, we got something happening on Tuesday, don't we? That I need the folks here in the Geauga County area, Northeast Ohio, but especially Geauga County area. Well, tell the folks what we have to do, because this is a local activist. We run to the battle out here. We're battling continuously, and we're up against the forces of darkness, and the Waka is one of those dark, dark forces. Tell the folks what we need to do come Tuesday.
Well, the thing to do is come into the Geauga County, the Central Administration Building on Ravenwood. Look for the Administration Building on Ravenwood Drive. Come to the third floor of the building at 9:30 on Tuesday. There's an important meeting taking place. I'll sort of paraphrase a little bit. We've got the efforts of a five-county-wide centralized initiative called NOACA, which stands for Northeast Ohio Area-Wide Coordinating Agency. You don't have to remember that. Everybody just says NOACA. NOACA is making big moves to try to limit some of the county's voice in local government. So we've got there's a group based out of Cleveland. It's called NOACA. And they are seeking to control Lake County, Geauga County, Lorain County, Medina County, and Geauga County, all from Cleveland. And this whole initiative, it's under this banner of climate change. They have this climate action plan. And there are some people that are fighting it. And one of our biggest fighters happens to be a Geauga resident who serves on the board. Well, to make a long story short, they're trying to change the way the board is formed and the board runs to kick him off the board, to get rid of the guy. There's one guy on the board who's asking questions, and lo and behold, they're trying to change the bylaws to get rid of this guy. The vote should take place, I believe, Tuesday morning at 9:30, and a whole lot of us need to show up at the county administration building and say, no way. No way, no how. Don't do that to us. Let us keep our local voice, and let's keep some people on the board, or at least one, who's willing to ask some questions.
Well, that, okay, the location is right off Route 44, folks, where the Geauga County Sheriff's Department is and Geauga County Hospital. It's about halfway, it's on 44, about halfway between Route 87 and Route 322. And when you pull in, and you go to the back, it would be on your right-hand side where all the government offices are there. And there's a big sign out there. So it's very important that you be there. Again, this is
The Bureau of Motor Vehicles and the Title and License Bureau, all that stuff. It stands out like a sore thumb. It's the only tall building on that street. The street, again, is Ravenwood. I would give the address, but actually, Pastor, I happen to be away from my desk, where I know I have a post-it note somewhere with the address on it, but can't miss the place. It really stands out, and if you're in the Geauga area, chances are pretty good you know it anyway. It's the County Administration Building on Ravenwood, 9:30 Tuesday morning, and let's stop this from happening.
Right. When you go in, you'll walk to the left and not the right with the office building. And you walk in, and it'll show you. I believe it's on. Is it on the third floor?
It is. You can't miss it. Typically, there's the last several times I've gone, there's been actually a fairly good turnout. I happened to go there a couple of weeks ago. Every Tuesday morning at 9:30, with rare exception, the county commissioners meet. I caught wind of the plan to do a $400,000 office renovation for our county prosecutor, which I think is outrageous. No government official needs a $400,000 office renovation. So I went in to ask questions and encourage them not to vote in favor of this $400,000 office renovation. But frankly, I think that their minds are all skewed. They spend so many days and weeks and months and years looking at big figures and rubber stamping $10 million for this and $50 million for that. I think many of these people in local government, in all government, they lose sight of the value of money and forget that it's all coming from we, the taxpayers.
Well, you know, that's what Margaret Thatcher said, you know, because that's called socialism. And here, you know, it's socialism fine until you run out of other people's money, and that's what they're doing. When you talk about NOACA, they're a shadow government. These are unelected bureaucrats, unelected people that have snuck in. They don't have any right, but they're making claims and to our tax dollars. And these are not people we voted for. These are not people we elected. And so,
I'll tell you, if the average citizen pastor looked at the way they're spending money, like drunken sailors, and what they're paying for, what they're spending money on, this is an organization, and I think they make a good example of the waste, fraud, and abuse of government. They collect tax money, and their original mandate and the reason that they were formed was a federal law that required municipal zones like the greater Cleveland area in Ohio to have an MPO. By the way, this is one of, 17, I think, in Ohio. This happens to be one of the largest. It's one of the worst agitators and aggravators in the country. They're constantly extremely far left. But they do all sorts of things that were designed to work on roads and bridges and regional planning. But recently they've done things like this. They painted a mural on the side of their building for $100,000. They're constantly working on potted plants and these bike paths that nobody seems to ever use. And they just throw inordinate amounts of money. And meanwhile, if you ever visit or Northeast Ohio or in the area, you'll notice that our roadbeds are in horrible condition. So they're not spending the money on the things that they're supposed to be spending the money on, and they seem to be showering themselves with big salaries, which is indicative of a lot of government.
Well, they are, and you're right. And it's, again, like you said, on the bike paths when the potholes, the roads are full of potholes. Also, again, what they are, they're like many Agenda 2030s, you know, Their agenda and long-range agenda is to move people off of private property, to take away, you know, private home ownership, you know, to the expansion of government, the expansion of your major cities. This is, these people are, again, all these little groups are like a mini Agenda 2030 New Age government. But again, they're using our tax dollars. What are they scamming? About 25 cents per gallon of gas that we pay goes into their scheme, right?
I think it's, well, it's some odd number. It's like 17.8% or something. I forget it off the top of my head, but you're not far off. It's something in that realm, at 20 cents per gallon-ish area. But it turns out to be a lot of money. Think about the volume of gas that goes through this region, and they just collect all this money. Plus, I think there are some other avenues of money. There's some federal block grant money that's given to them and stuff. There are some experts on it, like Skip Claypool. He's the gentleman in question who is a Geauga County resident, former county commissioner, and he is now on the board. He's appointed to the board and filling in for one of our current county commissioners, and he is the one person consistently in there asking questions and probing. A lot of these people, they get in these positions, and I don't know what happens to their brains. They just seem to turn off and go foggy and mushy, but they just want to rubber stamp everything. Whatever it is, they don't ask questions. So this one person stands out because of the way that he got onto the board, and that's apparently an attack vector. The board are trying to get him off by changing the bylaws and remove the guy. And we can't have it. for this board and all the boards like it, we need as many people as possible with the compunction and the ability to scrutinize. We need people asking questions, for heaven's sakes.
If we turn in 40 to 50 people down there, I'm going to try to make it myself. If they turn in 40 to 50 people, do you think the board is going to get the message? And we're talking about the county commissioners. We're not talking about the NOACA board, but the Board of County Commissioners. Do you think they're going to get the message?
Well, I hope so. And that's an important distinction. NOACA board typically meets downtown Cleveland. The meeting that we're talking about on Tuesday morning is the county commissioners meeting for the county, Geauga County Commissioners. And they're going to vote. It's my understanding that this vote, it didn't end up taking place a few days ago this week because of a procedural issue. But they're supposed to vote this coming Tuesday on adopting the change that would effectively kick off this one guy who asks a lot of questions. And I think the whole thing is hogwash. I think the whole thing is an attack on, and you see it all over the place. You see it all the time. If somebody shows up on a board and is willing to push back, ask questions, challenge budgets, and those kinds of things. And when you get crooked boards, that's the last thing they want. They don't want people asking questions. And I believe that they will go to great lengths to silence people who take that approach, who are willing to ask questions.
I do, too. That's why I want to be there. I'd like to see them try to silence me. But anyhow, what time is that meeting?
It's 9:30 a.m. on Tuesday morning, this coming Tuesday.
9:30.
And Pastor, if I may, I will tell people in this area, you'll hear more about it in the lead-up to the meeting on WINT, where we air Voice of Geauga. I am one of the hosts of Voice of Geauga. That's regionally here. If you're in Lake, Geauga, parts of Cuyahoga County, and into Ashtabula, you'll pick us up on 101.5 FM. That's 1330 AM. WINT is the station, and we are Voice of Geauga Monday through Friday, 7 AM to 8 AM. So on Monday and on Tuesday, we will be covering in the lead-up, and then on Wednesday, we'll be covering a recap. You can also stream it if you're outside of that area of Northeast Ohio at wintradio.com.
All righty. Also, this program that we're doing right now, this is going to be repeated from 3 to 5 in the morning, again at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then again at 3 in the afternoon. So people will hear this. They'll have an opportunity to hear this. And then tomorrow, I will again announce it. And that way they can hear it again on Tuesday morning. So
beautiful. Appreciate it.
Very, very good. Well, you're welcome to stay with us if you'd like to. We're going to go, John and I, we're going to start doing some national news. If you want to stay in here with us, you're welcome. If not, I understand. But
well, I'll tell you what, Pastor, it's making that 7 a.m. show Monday through Friday has me up early all week. And I'll tell you, this late on a Friday, I'm running out of steam. Normally, I'd love to stay on with you, but I don't want to run out of steam on the air. That would be embarrassing for me.
All right, very good, my friend. Listen, you have yourself a good night, and let's get her done. Ain't over with till we win. All right, thanks.
Absolutely.
All righty, God bless. All righty, I'm going to go back to Big John McTurnum. And
I'm here, Pastor.
Yeah, Big John, I got a cool question to ask you. First of all, tell me about Tina Peters. Do we have some good news on Tina Peters? Tina Peters is a Gold Star mother, a wonderful lady. She's 70 years old, and she was sentenced to how many years in prison?
A lot, Pastor Ernie, somewhere around 10.
Yeah, and she's a wonderful lady, and she's in prison in that corrupt state of Colorado that has a completely corrupt legislator and an ungodly, wicked, evil, sinful governor. But this woman, she exposed the corruption in the election, and she ended up going to prison, this gold star mother. So tell us what the good news is, John.
Well, the good news, Pastor Ernie, is that her case was picked up by the Court of Appeals, and the judges were astonished at her trial. And one of the things, well, there were a couple things, but her evidence was not allowed to be brought into the trial. And the appellate court judges were astonished, Pastor. And then when I was following and I was reading about it, the state of Colorado, we had really no explanation why her evidence was blocked from being presented. So it looked like you could see she was being framed just by the questions that the Court of Appeals was asking, Pastor Ernie. So it's a tremendous. It's all out in the public now. What we've been saying, how she was railroaded, and it was all because she was showing how the election in Colorado was irregular, and there was all sorts of fraud in the election process, because she was one of commissioners there. She was over the election, Pastor Ernie, the results. And they put all these irregularities, and so they put her in jail because she was going to blow the whole. She could blow the whole thing open. How corrupt it was! So
absolutely.
They gave her a fraudulent trial. It wasn't even a trial. It was one of those fake communist trials.
Well, it was the state. Now, she tried. President Trump said, "Look, he tried to pardon her, but he can't pardon a state conviction, can he?"
Well, this is interesting. The federal government, through Biden, worked closely with the state, very closely. And the last I heard was they were going to take the angle that this was a joint state-federal investigation of her, because the federal agents were working so close with the state that he could pardon her because of their involvement. Now, I haven't heard anything, because he did pardon her, but then the state said no, and it sat there now. How long ago was that, Pastor Ernie? 2 months ago or so they pardoned her?
I think so, yeah. Boy, time is moving so fast. I tell you, I'm having a rough time.
Happening. Pastor Ernie, yeah. So much is happening so fast. My head's spinning.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Yeah, because, see, I know folks are listening to us, but you and I, you know, we have access to, you know, we're privy to so much stuff that's coming in. You know, they wouldn't believe how much news we're looking at, and many sources. So to us, it's like, wow, it's happening so quickly, you can't keep up with it. All righty. You know what we did is we started out.
Hold on for a second. I just found it. The article about her. January 15th, Colorado appellate court judges eviscerate Colorado's case against Tina Peters in appealing hearing. And that's the one that I was giving you all that information about. It was incredible when it got out in the public here about what they've done to that woman. They literally blocked evidence that would be in her favor, that would show she was doing things according to the law. She was within the law of what she did, Pastor Ernie. All that was blocked, all of it. So now it's out in the open.
And Colorado, that judicial in Colorado is shown for how corrupt it is, how very, very corrupt. Anyhow, you know what we did? We started out by without doing what we were supposed to do. We had prayer requests, and I got sidetracked, so that's on me. Let's pray. I want to pray for a wonderful lady And all you folks out there across the country, I want you to please pray with me for her. I've known her for probably close to 50 years. Her husband was Pastor Fred Haig, who was one of my associate pastors. And Fred died a few years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago. But Sandy has recently come down. She's in a facility for memory rehabilitation. And she had a brain bleed. And now, I guess, here yesterday that she had, while she was eating, she had passed out, and they found her with her face in a plate of food. And here she's had to have, from what I understand, a pacemaker put in. Sandy is a wonderful, good, godly lady. Very active pro-lifer for years. She worked with me in the Right to Life, helping me save babies. She was out there. She'd be out there on cold winter mornings on the streets helping me save babies. So let's pray for her. If you folks would join with me, I would surely appreciate it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I want to hold Sandy up at this time, Lord, and ask, I really, really ask, Lord, that you might touch her, give her a complete and total healing. Lord, we know that miracles are your specialty. You wouldn't have to, all you'd have to do. This lady deserves, Lord, she deserves to be healed. And so, Father God, again, we're just asking that you would do that and restore her back. We had her. She was in church Sunday, even though she's been ill, and everyone was so glad to see her. So we would ask, Father God, that you would touch her, you would bless her, give her a complete and total healing, and put her back to work with us in our ministry, because she's been such a real foot soldier for you, Lord. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. John, would you do this? Would you pray for the ICE agents and their families? Because they're going after these guys. Left and right, they're doxing them. They're up against hardcore communists, and many of them are agents now. Would you pray for the ICE agents and their families?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, I want to bring you up to speed real quickly, because since we spoke, some things really have broken in the news. Biden judge blocks ICE from arresting protesters or using crowd dispersal tools in Minnesota. That just came out this morning. They are hamstringing some Biden federal judge. They're hamstringing the federal agents. So they can, the protesters can do anything to the federal agents, perhaps hurting them. However, it's leading to incitement, because they can, like, spit at the agents. They can do anything. Anything they want. The judge just ruled that a little bit before the show. And then
Well, do you have that judge's name? Do you have that judge's name? Because after the hour, we need to pray in a precatory prayer against him and or her or whatever. But it's too late for you to go ahead for prayer now, because we only got about a minute before the break.
Oh, okay. So we'll pick it up right after the break, Pastor.
Right. Meanwhile, I do have, thanks to Pastor Hal, he got the address of the county board there in Ravenwood that we were talking in Geauga County. The county board is at 12611. That's 12611 Ravenwood Drive, and that's the county board in Geauga County. And again, the address is 12611. We're coming up to a break, and we'll be back right after this with more, a lot more. Don't go away. Be right back.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
For over 30 years, Point of Grace has shared music, faith, and friendship with listeners across the country. Now Denise, Lee, and Shelley are inviting you into their circle. Welcome to Circle of Friends, the podcast.
It's Point of Grace.
Each week, they're talking real life, current events, stories of true friendship, wisdom from God's Word, and all their favorite things. If you're looking for a little company, a few laughs, and a lot of Jesus to hold it together, Circle of Friends, the podcast, is waiting for you. Subscribe now wherever you listen or watch podcasts, and circle up with Point of Grace.